In Elul, we usually emphasize on things that are related to the topic of tshuva and how we can correct our ways. And especially, tshuva is usually defined as something that can also work on the past. That means things that we have wronged till now, we can do tshuva and take things back and really be considered as if we've never done the things. Tonight I would like to dedicate the shiur to something that that the pasuk and the gemara relates to, something that cannot be corrected, and when we can't correct things, that means we need to. Rav Harlap writes in one of his svarim in a sefer that we'll figure a bit later, Mei Marom, all about the topic of tshuva. He writes in a sefer that what causes us to one of the main things that causes us to do things wrong is that we think that we can take things back when we know that things can't be taken back. So we think 100 times before we do them. But when things we feel okay, we make a mistake, you know, we'll take it back. We make a mistake, blah, 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 you know, it's life will go on, nothing will happen. We'll be able to fix things up. And a lot of times, tshuva. There's a tshuva of Rav Kook in his sefer, Shilas and Tshuvas, that the one Rav asked him a question. He says to him, you know, every we can get malkot. The punishment of malkot comes only for isurim that a person cannot fix. That means cannot correct or take back. For instance, if somebody stole something from someone else, he doesn't get malkot for that. Why? Because he can repay. He can repay the object back to the person who took it from. When somebody does a sin that he can't take back, so you get a punishment of malkot. So Rav in London, I think Rav Ferber, he writes a letter to Rav Kook and he asks him, how can we get malkot on any of the mitzvot since we have the mitzvah of tshuva? So we can basically fix almost anything we did. So why do we get malkot? And Rav Kook writes a whole big pilpul to answer that question that basically came. Which basically, I think the main answer to that is that tshuva only doesn't work in olam hazeh. Punishment's a beit din giver for things that we can take back, that we can't take back in olam hazeh. Tshuva doesn't work in olam hazeh. If somebody did it, for instance, if somebody murdered another person, lo aleinu, and he comes to court and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry for what I did, and I'm doing tshuva," and that, the court is going to say, "Thank you very much. You can tell that to if you get to Gan Eden or to Gehinnom, whichever." But you can't. You won't be able to get a hanacha or get a discount from the punishment because you did tshuva. I think that's the reason that the punishment of beitin still comes into practice even if a person does tshuva. But the question itself comes to basically say that the usual concept is that we can do tshuva lo nara, like the Mishnah says. A person says to himself, echta ve'ashuv. And I'll do sin, and I'll do tshuva, I'll do sin, I'll do tshuva, and I can always take it back.
Isn't there a problem with having, you know, preconceived, you know, thought that, okay, well, I can do whatever I want because then I can always do tshuva?
The Mishnah says, "Aomer echtav ashuv, en maspikim biyado la'asot tshuva," that he will never be able to do tshuva. So some of the commentators say it's a punishment because Baruch Hu punishes him in a way which he will never be able to do tshuva. But I think maybe the pshat of it is that the simple answer to it is that just a person who lives in that way of life will never get to the stage of doing tshuva, because all the time, you know, things, okay, lo nara, tomorrow, like the famous diet thing. The diet always starts tomorrow. So why don't you say, okay, lo nara, so I'll eat today and I'll start tomorrow. I'll eat, no, it's okay, there's still time, there's nothing, nothing's, not running after anyone, then there's still enough time for everything. So basically I can always do tshuva. So then I would like to dedicate the shiur to something that we cannot do tshuva on. And that is why we need to take pay more attention to it and see how we can live our lives in a way that we don't get to that situation. And I would like to start, start from a sugya in the Gemara. There's a pasuk in Kohelet which says, "Me'uvat lo yuchal itkon, v'chesron lo yuchal imalot," which means in English, that's a crooked thing cannot be straightened, and or warped
No, you're right. So it's the only reason I just learned it in Gemara.
Prophecy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So a crooked thing cannot be straightened, and something that is missing cannot be counted. That was what the pasuk says in Kohelet. And the Gemara brings this pasuk in a sugya that deals with tefillat hashlumin. A person missed a davening, I should say, and woke up at lunchtime, I should say, something like that, and missed shacharis, or missed a mincha, which could be much more in the winter, especially, it could happen a lot of times. If we don't make the minyan at work, and suddenly we forget to get home, oh, wow, we forgot the mincha, and or a ma'ariv, come home very tired, and just, you know, and we miss a davening. So the Gemara goes into the discussion, could we repay the davening? Could we basically have two davenings, which is usually called tefillat hashlumim? Okay, and the Gemara goes in to say, Tash Amar Rav Huna Bar Yuda Amar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan. The Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak of Brachas, Ta'av v'lo itpalel mincha, mitpalel arvit shtayim. If a person didn't daven mincha, he could daven two davenings on Ma'ariv. So the Gemara comes and asks a question: how can you say that you can davening if you missed out a davening? You can daven two davenings. Meitevei, the pasuk says in Kohelet, Me'uvat lo yuchal itkon, that if something is crooked, you cannot straighten it. So if you missed out the davening, basically implying that you will not be able to repay it. Me'uvat lo yuchal itkon, the Chazal say, Ze shebitel kriyat shma shel arvit, v'kriyat shma shel shacharit, o tefillah shel arvit, o tefillah shel shacharit, somebody who didn't daven, or didn't say kriyat shma, it's a mitzvah d'oraita. So, and the Gemara answers the question, and we don't go in here into all the sugiyah. But the Gemara basically implies that a person who missed a davening, Gemara says, since a person missed a davening, he cannot repay it. Why? Because it says a crooked thing cannot be straightened. That was what the Gemara says.
Well, then the answer is the same answer that you're giving here, that if you intentionally did it in advance, then there's
not. Very good. That's the answer the Gemara gives. If it's bemazed, right. So the Gemara, very good. Okay.
Same thing.
Nachon, that connects to Marsh's point. But what I would like to stay, in Yeshiva, you always say that also the Hava Mina has a special importance. The question itself, and I would like to put a bit of emphasis on the question. The Gemara asks a question. The Pasuk in Kohelet says, Chazal say that if you, a crooked thing cannot be straightened. If you miss a davening, you cannot fill it in. And the question is, why not? Why we say a crooked thing cannot be straightened? I missed out. What's the problem? So do two davenings later. Okay, I missed out a davening. Lonara?
The shacharis is not the same as the mincha.
Same Shmoneh Esrei. By the way, when the Gemara mentions tefillah, when the Gemara says tefillah, it means Shmoneh Esrei. So basically, the basic tefillah is Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, so you're right that there are certain parts of, the other parts of the tefillah are not, are parts that are related especially to shacharis, like Yotzev O, or things like that are related to the sun coming up, or Pesukei Zimra. But, but generally, the Shmoneh Esrei itself is the same Shmoneh Esrei. When you fill in, and that's a halacha, if we miss out a davening, we fill it in. So why did the Gemara think that it's davening is such a thing that cannot be filled in? What's the whole... Why is it just a crooked thing that cannot be straightened? And this is a question that Pnei Yehoshua asks this question and goes into a bit of pilpul into the sugya. But that is the basic question he asks. Why did the Gemara think that this case falls into the pasuk in Kohelet that it's a crooked thing that cannot be straightened if you miss a davening? And I saw a very fascinating answer to this question. It wasn't written as an answer to this question, but I took it and I learned here something new, and it just changed my whole concept of this Gemara. I probably learned this Gemara quite a few times. A lot of you probably came across the Gemara in Brachos a few times, and since I see a lot of people here also know the Gemara. And I came across it in the Sefer Hamidot of the Magen Midubna. The Magen Midubna is famous for his parables and Mishalim and his drushes. But he also wrote a Musa Sefer called the Sefer Midos, which just goes into different the Midos of Anava and Gaiva and the good traits and the bad ones. And at the end he has Shara Tfilah. And he speaks about the Davening. And he comes in to say, he says that there are basically two types of Davenings, which we already he didn't invent this distinction, but he emphasized it here in the Sefer in the second parak of Shara Tfilah. So that's the Magen Midubna. There are two types of davenings. Efsharit v'hechachit. There is the one that is the one that comes up with the times. A person comes into a situation where he feels he has to daven to Hashem, he feels he's in trouble. So it's something that comes up. It's not something you pre-plan. You feel you're in trouble or something, and you daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ifsharit. It doesn't have to come up. It comes up, or something very good happens to that person, and he feels wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ifsharit. The other type is hechrechit, is the necessary one. That is the hechrechit. And here comes the Magen Meduvna and says as follows, and I'll read in Hebrew and translate. Hechrechit, he says, it has to be, it's necessary. And he says as follows. Ein be'efshar shel ish Yisrael, el ish Yisrael, she'avor alav netach minitchei hazman, yom o layla mimei chayav, shelo yitpalel bo tfila o tchina. He says, and he comes and says, just like man cannot live without food for a certain amount of time, the same way a person, a Jewish person, cannot have a certain amount of time pass without a davening. And that's why the tefillah is necessary. It has to come. Just like a person has to eat, a person has to daven. And that is what he says, the Gemara says, Me'uvat lo yuchal itkon. And even though it was just in the Havamin in the Gemara, he brought it down. So, a crooked thing cannot be straightened. If we miss the davening, we cannot fill it in. What is he trying to say? If I interpret his things right, if I understand him right, he's saying, sure, we can fill in the davening. We'll be passing that halacha. We can fill in the davening, but you can't fill in the time. A davening is something that we start the day, gives you inspiration to start the day. It gives you something to think about in the middle of the day. Something before you go to sleep. If you started the day without davening, lehavdil is like starting the day without a breakfast. You'll be able to daven two davenings in mincha, okay. Two shmonez in mincha. But you lost the whole morning. You were hungry all morning. You can't fill in it. A person fasts a whole day. Does anybody here eat three meals at the end of a fast day? Not that I know of.
The equivalent of
maybe. Talk for yourself. I don't think anybody here eats the equivalent of three meals at the end of the fast day. Why not? It's impossible.
You don't eat more the day before? I mean, it's a mitzvah.
When it's a mitzvah, we eat because it's a mitzvah, not because we're really hungry.
We still eat more.
You eat a bit more. See, okay, so at the end of the fast day...
drinks a lot, so that... Okay.
Nahon, but at the end of a fast day, you eat... You may eat 1.5 meals, okay? You may eat a bit... You'll eat 2 sandwiches instead of 1, or 3 instead of 2. But you're not going to have 3 meals at the end of the fast day. You don't have 3 meals at the fast day. And what basically... And the same idea here comes with... As Magen Duna says with the davening. The me'uvat lo yuchal itkon, the crooked thing here... is not the davening. You can fill in the davening. It's not a davening, two davenings, davening, three davenings. What's the whole story? But you lost out a day without a davening before. You didn't daven before the day started. So you lost out the time. Instead of having an inspirational day, you start your day to roll out of bed into work and nothing to start the day with. That's what he's saying. And it just changed my whole concept of the whole Gemara. When I always thought the time of the davening is for the davening itself, you think the goal of the davening is the davening? No, he's telling us the opposite. The purpose of the davening is for your day. It's something that changes your day. And when you miss it out, you missed out a day. And that is something that you can never take back. And that is basically what I said, the topic of the shir is something we cannot take back. And something that tshuva cannot be done on is time. We cannot take back time, and I call the shir, can you take the clock back? Take the clock back, but we can't live a longer life. We can fly 10 times to the States and gain 7 hours and fly back in a Concorde and take 3, but we won't live a longer life. Right, okay, or some other way of saving time. But it's going to be the same. The dates are maybe, we may change, we'll be a week behind, but time does not come back. We lost it. It doesn't come back. And that is the concept that the Magen Meduvna puts into this Gemara, the simple Gemara that we have gone through a few times in the Gemara and Brachos. And this idea already is preceded the Kuzari already, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi already 1,000 years ago, and preceded the Magen Meduvna with this idea, and really said this parable with between the davening and food. He said, "Sheken tfilata adam," in the third ma'amal, the third third section of Sefer Kuzari, in the fifth paragraph, the chaver, the Jewish person, says to the Kuzari, "Vine kol erech kol ele lanefesh hu ke'erech hamazon laguf." The davening to the soul is like the food to the body. Sheken tefilat ha'adam tova lenafsho keshem she'hamazon to'elet legufo. V'chen berkat kol tefila shura la'adam al sh'at tefila she'achareya. The inspiration comes in from one davening, stays in a person's heart till the davening afterwards. And the more we get farther from the davening we had before, and it's something to think about when we speak about this, how we're supposed to daven also, what we're supposed to be thinking when we're davening, not just speak it out without just realize that we're in the davening. כל תפילה שורה לאדם עד שעת התפילה שאחריה, כשם שכוח הסעודה שסעד מתקיים בו עד שיסעד סעודת לילה. And then he goes on afterwards to say that when we get too far from the previous meal, we start getting hungry. And when a person gets too far from his previous inspiration, previous davening, the soul gets hungry. The soul, he gets into certain sadness, into a certain way of sinking into material things and forgetting what life is all about. That is the idea that is presented in the Kuzari and brought by the Magen Meduvna into the Gemara and Brachos, which bring this pasuk in Kohelet, "Av me'uvat lo yuchal itkon," the crooked cannot be straightened. The next point I would like to go into is that this idea applies and was brought into application by also the Rav Alatanya in his Igeret HaTshuva, which is I don't know exactly to who this letter was written, but it's written in Baruch Hashem, we have it in front of us, Rav Alatanya, and the Rav Harlap, which I mentioned before, almost in the same wording. And they come to say there's a difference between, we know there's a difference between mitzvot aseh and mitzvot lo ta'aseh. Now, the Gemara says that to do tshuva and mitzvot aseh is a very simple thing. Mitzvot lo ta'aseh, a person just meharher tshuva u'mochalim lo. Eno zaz misham ad she'mochalim lo. That's what the Gemara says, a mitzvot aseh. It means mitzvot aseh, if a person didn't do a mitzvah he was supposed to do, okay? So, a person didn't make Kiddush and Shabbos, didn't light candle, didn't do any, candle is a derabana, but didn't do a mitzvah, and missed it out, didn't put on tefillin for a whole day or something of the sort, missed out the mitzvah. So, the Gemara says, just do leharher tshuva, just think of tshuva, think we want to do it better, the next day we'll make sure to do it properly, or the next time we get to come across the obligation, we'll do it properly, and inozaz misham ad shemochalim. Serekemu. In Ben Adam L'Chavero, at least it's an interesting question, because the Mishnah says in Masechet Yoma, "Averot Shel Adam L'Chavero En Yom Kippurim Mechaper Ad She'Yiratzeh Et Chavero." So we can say that only applies to the Kapara of Yom Kippur. Does Tshuva help Im Lo Meratzeh Et Chavero or not? The Rambam says also Tshuva doesn't help. The Rambam adds a word. The Rambam, this Machavusa told me this morning, just happened to tell me, told me this Rambam this morning. The Rambam adds, it says, "Ein tshuva ve'yom ha'kippurim mechaprim ad she'yiratzeh et chaviro." And why is that? I think we explained a year or two ago when we spoke about this concept. The reason is because when we do tshuva, first we have to try and correct what we can correct in this world. Tshuva is something we do in our hearts, something inside us, something we think about, we want to improve our ways. It's not only practical. But tshuva doesn't help. If a person stole something from somebody else and doesn't give it back to him, what's going to help? The tshuva going to help? First correct what you can correct, then do the tshuva. So same here, if a person offended someone else, ben el chavero, so what do you do tshuva? If you first try and fix what you can fix.
What about an aseh ben el chavero? Like, okay, I didn't steal from my friend, but say I didn't do hashavat aveda or something that I could have done, or I didn't help him with his
donkey. Right, so it applies to that also. If it's something that you couldn't do and there's no way to fix it, so yeah. Right? Also, right? It applies also to that. Immediately, but mitzvah lo ta'aseh, that's already, if a person has lo ta'aseh, that you need already kapara from Yom Kippur. It's not enough to do tshuva any time in life. Any time of the year, you have to do tshuva and wait for Yom Kippur to have kapara and mitzvah lo ta'aseh. So what do we say? What is more severe? Lo ta'aseh or aseh? Lo ta'aseh. Also, lo ta'aseh is usually done by an act. Usually, vera of a mitzvah ta'aseh is by not doing something that's passive. So it's not so bad, we could say. But doing a lota is something that we did actively, we say it's even worse. And that's why we need Yom Kippur for that. We need a stronger kapara, like for not to be punished for that. But comes the Balatanya and the Rav Harlap after him. And they say, but there is a different side to the coin. From a tshuva point of view, the mitzvah taseh is more chamur than mitzvah lo taseh. Because when a person does an act that wasn't good, so a person basically acquired a bad trait by doing things that aren't taseh. Torah educates us by telling us what not to do, and by doing these things we ruin ourselves. So we can do tshuva. We can correct that. By doing tshuva, we can correct what we did wrong. In ourselves, at least. But says the Baal Tanya and Rav Harlap, when we didn't do something, and the time passed, we'll never be able to do it again. We can do as much tshuva as we want. We could correct ourselves as much as we want. But if we didn't do that kibud avayim, we'll never be able to do that kibud avayim again. We'll only be able to do the next day, kibud avayim better. But we'll never be able to take back what we didn't do. Which goes back to the same concept of time. There are certain moments which we have to seize. There are certain times where we have to take. And if we don't take them, we lose them. And that is this point of mitzvah taseh. Says the Baal HaTanya, le'inyan tshuva, af shemochalim la'onesh. The tshuva helps for kapara, that we don't get a punishment from Kadosh Baruch Hu. לעניין תשובה, אף שמוכלים לו עונש על שמרד ומלכותו התברך ולא עשה מאמר המלך, a person do the mitzvah, מכל מקום האור נעדר. The light isn't there. The light I was supposed to light with that mitzvah is not here. We're still in the darkness, even though I did תשובה. וכמאמר רבותינו זל, על פסוק מעוות לא יוכל לתקון. The crooked nazir, he brings this pasuk also down. זה שביטל קריאת שמה של ערבית, שאף שנזהר מעטה לקרות קריאת שמה של ערבית ושחרית, even though a person the next day is already make sure he'll wake up the minion and he'll make sure to daven ma'ariv in the minion and everything is בסדר, אבל לעולם אין תשובתו מועלת לתקן מה שביטל פעם אחת. It'll not bring back what we lost. That is comes back here with any mitzvah to say, which comes back to this concept of losing the time, losing the moments, losing the chances we have to do things. And if we don't, we missed it. We can try and do more. But two meals will never fill in for a fast day. A fast day will stay a fast day, even if we had five meals at the end of it. So lo yazor, a person who didn't take his tablets for a week because he was sick, won't happen. He can't take an overdosage at the end of the week. Doesn't help. You're going to have to start taking them slowly one by one, and you lost a week. You were sick a week in malasot. There's nothing you can do about it. And that is what is here to say, en tshuva tomo el. The tshuva on this thing does not help. We can't take it back. When we go further, I think the very interesting Gemara that I came across, and I think I had a very new explanation for it according to what we've just said. The Gemara brings an interesting dispute between two Amoraim, the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells a story of Rava, the Amora Rava, Chazya l'Rav Amnuna deka amarich b'tzlote. He saw Rav Amnuna was davening a very long Shmoneh Esrei. Probably annoyed him, maybe he was waiting for him, I don't know. But he was davening a very long shmones. Amma. And obviously Rav Amnuna was a big Rav. And if he wouldn't be davening, obviously what would he be doing? Learning Torah, obviously. So he said, he got very angry at him. He said to him, Manichim chaye olam v'oskim b'chaye sha'a. How could you leave something that's so important, like leave Torah, not learn Torah, and just do a long davening? On the cheshbon of your Torah learning. Why so more important than davening? Because what do we ask in davening? Give us parnasa, give us health. Okay, that's what davening is all about, right? All our needs. That's what we're doing. So Rava got really angry and says, what's this? Amarich b'tzlote, is having such long davening? What's this? You're investing so much time asking for your own needs, for your own things. And you're leaving the Torah learning, which speaks to the knowledge and connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu and dealing with the really important things. Chaye Olam. How could you be leaving Chaye Olam from Chaye Sha? So the Gemara doesn't bring his answer, but the Gemara estimates what was his svara. Vehu savar, what was Rav Hamnuna was davening along that? What did he think? והוסבר זמן תפילה לחוד וזמן תורה לחוד. Everything has its own time. What is it interpreting? So what? זמן תורה לחוד וזמן תפילה. What is it coming to say? That Torah is less important than tefillah? He's not chulek in that. He agrees that Torah is more important than tefillah. So what's zman Torah lechud and zman tefillah lechud? But according to what we explained, tefillah is something that gives us a certain inspiration for a certain amount of time, and Torah is something else. And everything has its own time. And that time has to be filled with what is appropriate for that amount, certain time. It's true that in a lab, Torah is bigger than tefillah. When you're learning mathematics, when we get down to the physics, or get down to the life, and taking the zman Torah lechud, the zman tefillah lechud. Everything has its own time. Every time has its own special thing that needs to come into it. It needs to be filled with certain things. And that's why you can't just put one beside the other. You have to think, what is appropriate for every piece of time?
Like one's not on the cheshbon of the other.
Excuse me?
So one's not on the cheshbon of the other.
Nachon, because for him, his time, he needs more inspiration, or he needs something like that. So for him, zman tefillah lechud. Now it's a time for tefillah. That's the point. And now we come to have a new understanding of the Mishnah and Avos, which we all know by heart. Imen ani li mili, shani latzmi mani, vim lo achshav imatai. What's vim lo achshav imatai? How do we interpret it? So vim lo achshav, when am I going to do it? Maybe I won't have time to do it afterwards. That's the regular interpretation. If you don't do it now, maybe I won't get to do it. When am I going to do it? But the Rabbeinu Yonah explains, if I don't do it now, I'm losing the time now. If I don't do it now, I'm losing this time. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do at this time, I lost the time. That is the point here. That's imloch shav imatai. It's not that maybe I won't have time to do it afterwards. If I can do good things now and fill my life with good things now, seize the moment. Put it in now. That's the whole point. And this idea is something that really brings me to think, and this is mainly if we gain from this point in the shir, that what do we do with our time? How do we take advantage of it? So we want to say, okay, let's take advantage of time. So we daven in the morning, we can put more thought into our davening. We can do more ma'asim tovim during the day. And that makes our time quality time. But we all have also what's called our spare time. And how do we fill our spare time? What do we do with it? That is a big question. And in lo achshav imatai, in a way, and I would like to bring forth for you a passage that I'm happy my mother's here tonight. And because she went to Canada to get me this set of books. It's called Gateway to the Great Books of the Western World. It's very... probably not an easy step to get today, right? On the internet, you can buy everything on the internet and everything gets sent from anywhere in the world. But this is a set, I don't know if you came across it. Anybody here know it? No? Great Books of the Western World? Ever heard of it? No. A series of books that two professors in, I think, Columbia University, obviously one of them Jewish, Hutchins and Adler, guess who's who, compiled the whole... set of 50-something volumes of the great books of the Western world from the Tanakh till these days. And they did an introduction set of 10 volumes, which is called Gateways to the Great Books of the Western World. And in the introduction, this Professor Hutchins writes an introduction trying to convince people to open a book. Okay? To open a book. And while he's writing that, One of the most convincing passages I've came across, and I'll read out part of it to you. It's written in English. I need to translate from Hebrew, and it's, I think, something really to think about. And I'll read out from my pages because I think I omitted part of the thing. So it says as follows: today, and this is written in 1963. Okay, I think if you were living today, you'd probably commit suicide. You see what's going on with, but when you hear what he has to say, but. Today, two objects consume our time: work and distraction. The same forces. Anybody disagree?
Yeah.
Work and distraction. The same forces that have reduced the work of most men and women, I add, because we're in the 2000s, not in the 60s, have increased their distractions. These distractions have now got to such a point that in addition to reorienting the culture and our attitude toward life, they have made it almost impossible for us to keep our minds on anything for more than half an hour. Anybody disagree? The uninterrupted half an hour is a rare occurrence. But the important thing is that keeping the mind on something for more than half an hour is an effort. And if we are making an effort, we are not having any fun. Fun is identified with distraction and the absence of any strain on the mind or even on the body. The popularity of spectator sports, where thousands of people sit more or less inert and watch a few exhaust or even kill themselves in gladiatorial combat, shows we are not much more disposed to get fun from physical than from mental exertion. Perhaps I ought to tell you, I am not against fun, and I agree with him also. This is a goy writing this, okay, almost 50 years ago. I'm not against fun. My quarrel is not with fun, but with the current conception of it and its role among the aims of life. My quarrel with the conception of fun involves me in a quarrel about what it means to be human, what a human society is, and what is good for, even interesting, to a human being in a human society. The trouble with fun is that it is boring. It is simply not possible to spend more than a certain number of hours, days, weeks, or years having fun. And when the fatigued funster looks back over what he has done, he can only sigh and recognize too late his stupidity. And we all know what we feel like when we get up from a movie. Why is this so? Why must it be so? And that is maybe the answer here. It is because of the kind of animals people are. It is against nature for a man to devote himself to occupations little different from those which might be enjoyed by a pig, pigeon, or even a whale. And he goes on and on. And this is the point here. We have our spare time. What do we do with it? We want to have fun. But what is fun? What do we fill our time with? Do we do anything important with our time? That is the question here. And the Gemara already, this Professor Hutchins has just written in English, in such good English. And I recommend the whole article, maybe I should force that, but it's 14 pages and well worth reading.
Take more than half an hour.
No, 14 pages I think takes less for most people than the speakers here. But the point is here, do we do anything important? And can we have fun? He speaks about reading a book. And I speak about reading a safer. Or opening a safe. Do we open a safer in our spare time? Could we have any fun opening a safer, going to a shir, doing something important with our time, doing some chesed with our spare time? We'd lose the time. It's not going to come back. We want to see it. We don't want to be something crooked that cannot be straightened. What do we do with it? What do we fill it with? The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Pei Bet, brings down a baraita. And the Baraita goes on to say, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar omer, Miyamai lo ra'iti tzvi kayatz ve'arisa bal ve'shu'al chenvani. And kind of saying the same idea, Chazal preceded Professor Hutchins in 2,000 years probably. So, and the Baraita says, I never saw an animal that has a profession. People look for professions because they want to do, a man wants to do something with his mind, doesn't want to just graze and eat. Okay. Man feels he has to do something intelligent, something with his mind, and a Jewish person, something important. And Rav Kook, in a Sefer Eder Yakar, a Sefer of Memories, Memoirs, and Ideas in Memory of his Shver, as we say his days, his father-in-law, the Aderet of Eliyahu David Rabinovich Tomim, who was the end of his life as a Rav in Yerushalayim, was a big tzaddik. And it's chaval to English here because the literary words Rav Kook uses here are amazing, and he says be'etit motatut ruach, when the spirits are down, when the spirituality is down, the question of life, שאלת החיים, תהפך כולה רק לשאלה מכנית שפלה. The question of life, when a person isn't, doesn't do anything spiritual, becomes a mechanical question. And he calls a mechanical question of how to gather wood. A person's body turns into a house which is heated by this. All life turns into looking for wood to heat up the house. And what happens is, yeah, a person's body is a house, but that house has windows, and light comes in via those windows. A person has a neshama, and that neshama lights in him all the time, even if a person doesn't want to. And what does the person do? If a person is not spiritual, what does he do? He looks for distractions. What does Rav Kook say? He tries to block the windows. He doesn't want any light coming in. I want to distract myself. I don't want any light. I don't want to do anything important. I don't want to learn anything. I just stop myself up. Cell phone, beeper, BlackBerry, I don't know what, TV, anything, sport, anything that'll take me from thinking about something, from doing anything important. Just block up the windows as much as possible. But it can't be blocked. We have to fill up our life with something. Fill it with something spiritual. Fill it with Torah. Fill it with the davening that starts and turn around davening is something that changes our life. You have to think of what we do with our spare time. I would like to conclude with a new concept, and I think the idea itself is not such a complicated idea, but the way it comes and puts into so many different contexts. Rabbi Shlomo Volbit, one of the great Musar people of this generation, who died just 2-3 years ago, wrote a sefer Alei Shur, a Musar sefer, talking about important things in life, and it gives a new concept of Bitul Torah. I remember when I was in my first years in yeshiva, we would have discussions what is considered Bitul Torah. Does this person have to learn Torah all the time? Is every second not learning Torah Bitul Torah? And the Shlomo Volbit says here a tremendous chiddush. He says the mitzvah of Torah, as we say in the bracha in the morning, is la'asok bedivrei Torah. How did you translate la'asok bedivrei Torah? Business with Torah, no. But to deal with Torah, to engage with Torah. He says the mitzvah of limud Torah is the mitzvah of esek haTorah is not only to set aside a time for learning. That is part of it. But he says the main part of it is to fill our lives with Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah means that it's part of us. As he says, מילוי הימים בתורה הוא עניין בפני עצמו ולזה ניתנה לנו התורה. Torah is giving us to fill our days with Torah. We have a spare time. We have a spare minute. We have the spare time. We have more spare time than people in generations before us had. See, some of us. But we have the spare time. What do we do with it? Shabbos. Friday night. Friday afternoon. Friday morning. What do we do with the Friday morning? Distract ourselves or do something important. That milui hayamim b'tovah. That is the thing. Zmano shel ha'adam hu kli la'avodato. That is the whole point of this shir. Time is something we use. It's a utensil we use for what we want to do. Ve'u gam kli le'birchotav. Shlemut ha'adam tluya b'shlemut zmano. A person who wants to be fully fulfilled, wants to fulfill himself, fulfilling the time is fulfillment of ourself, and not wait for them. Remember Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're young, or at least as young as possible. Seize the moment from the point of view of the Torah. And I'll end with a vort that I heard from one of my uncles just 2 weeks ago. I was speaking to him, and he mentioned the name of one of the Rosh Hashivas of the last generation. He says, people say time is money. So Rosh Hashiva said, it's not right. Time is life. Time is life. There are some people who think that life is money, and for them, time is money. But time is life. That is the lesson we learn. And that is something I think we take into account when we plan our time. We plan a new year. Plan our time before the new year. I'm planning the next year. Plan the time properly, and also the time that's not planned, take advantage of it. And B'zrat Hashem, we hope that we take the most of it. B'zrat Hashem.